The Mishnah Kufheim Beis makes a flat statement, Kol HaMekalkalim Turin, and it sounds like it's not restricted only to Kareya Sholei Amanos Litzor, it applies to all the Melochas, and it sounds like there are no exceptions to the rule. So the Gemara on the fourth line on Kuvav and Aleph quotes, Tani Rebabo Kameh Rabbi Yechanan. Rebabo was an Amoro who recited Brisa in the presence of Rabbi Yechanan. His Brisa reads, Kol HaMekalkalim Turin Chutz Mechayv HaLamavet, clearly in disagreement with the Mishnah. Mishnah doesn't make any exceptions to the rule, just says Kol HaMekalkalim Turin, and the Brisa makes two exceptions to the rule. Amalei, so Rabbi Yechanan, who is listening to Rabbi Bo recite the Brisa, tells him, Puk, go out, Tony Lebro, teach it to the people outside. That's ridiculous. That's not correct. Kol HaMavir Ein HaMishnah. It's not correct. You cannot have such a Brisa. It's just wrong. The intim tzilama mishnah, and if there really is such a bona fide brisa, if there is such an opinion, it must be in a restricted case. Only chayvul b'tzorech lekalbo, umavir b'tzorech liafro. It's only in a special case. But on the normal, on the plain circumstances, a real mekalkal b'chov lemavir will also be potter. In these two cases, tzorech lekalbo, tzorech liafro, that's considered misakin. Okay, so Rabbi Yechanan says that it must be a mistake, and Rabbi Bo recited such a brisa, he somehow thought it was not a mistake. Beg the Markasha on Rabbi Abo. Rashi says, the Kashin Ado that the Rabbi Bo prof, the next line in the Imor Bahadnan Tanan is a Kashin Rabbi Bo's brisa. It's not a Kashin Rabbi Yechanan. According to Rabbi Yechanan, there are no exceptions to the rule. Even a Chayvul Amar, you also need Nisakin. But according to Rabbi Bo's Brisa, that there are two exceptions to the rule, doesn't this contradict the Mishnah Mahanan Tanan Kalakakam Turim? The Mishnah doesn't make any exceptions to the rule, so you mean the Brisa is in disagreement with the Mishnah Mar says that's correct. It's a Machlek is two different Tanaim. It's Machlek is Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. Machlek is Rabbi Yehuda and Brisa Rabbi Shimon. Sure. So it's a Machlek is Hatanan. So that's the big question on the Daf. Where did the Gemara pull out this Machlekes Hatanaim from? Is there a Mishnah? Is there a Brisa somewhere that records such an existing Machlekes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon? But in the Kalka B'chov L'mavir is Chai B'Potter. That's the Tesis, the last 2.5 lines on the Omud. Ach Plupten in the Kalka B'chavur Meforesh Rashi. Rashi says that Amoroi Medi Gemara derived it from the already existing Machlekes that's famous to us. Not Galon, it's a derivation from the Plupten Sheni Tzvicha L'Gufa. If so, it comes out of Lefize, Tzarech Loima, the Rabbi Bo is to Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yechanan is to Rabbi Yudit. Comes out, Rabbi Abo recites a brisa that says, Kol HaMekalkalim Turin Chutz Mechayv HaLamavir. Why is that? Because he holds like Rabbi Shimon, that Melocha Shein Tzvicha LeGufo is Mutam in HaTorah. And the fact that you have Pesukim that indicate, Melocha Shein Tzvicha LeGufo is Mutam in HaTorah, according to Rashi, why is that? Because every melocha shein tzvicha legufa is a form of mekalkal. It's a lack of nesakin. Ein tzvicha legufa, the machlekes of Yudin and Reb Shimon regarding ein tzvicha legufa is a prat, is a detail within the principle of nesakin. Everybody agrees that you have to have nesakin because melachas machshavas are tzvicha. If you do mekalkal, you're not chayiv. What if you did a melocha shein tzvicha legufa? Is that called nesakin, or is that called mekalkal? You can't call it mekalkal. But it means if it's ein tzricha legufa is lacking misakin, so it's the equivalent of mekalka, which will be potter. So according to Reb Shimon, who holds ein tzricha legufa is always lacking in misakin, so how do you have chayvul amavir by the two cases in Chumash, by chayvul by bris milah b'shabbos? If it's a milah b'zman is derech shabbos, not a milah b'zman is not derech shabbos. What's the melacha? Must be the melacha is chayvul. That's how the Gemara says the Malacha is Chayvel. It's a Pela on those Rishonim who disagree. Some Rishonim say the Malacha involved is Gozes. How can it be Gozes? Shitim Kubetzis in the first paragraph of the Suda says Malacha involved is Gozes. Some Achorim want to say the Malacha involved is Misakin Mona. That may be what Reb Yudah holds, but Reb Shimon clearly doesn't hold like that. Reb Shimon holds that the Malacha involved in Bris Milah, if you have Milah Bizman is Decha, Shabbos Milah Shalab Bizman is not Decha. What do you mean it's not Decha? What Malacha are you doing? So the answer is you're doing chayvel. What's the chayvel? Because dam is coming out. So basically, the dam that comes out is the chayn tzvicha legufa. Dam, that's how Rashi learns. The dam that comes out is ain't Tzricha L'Gufa, he doesn't use it for anything. Tosfos disagrees with the whole Rashi. Tosfos, why is ain't Tzricha L'Gufa the dam that comes out? The din is that Bris Mila consists of three parts. You have to have Mila and Priya and Hatofa's dam. Mila, in the days of Avram Avinu, they only had Mila. Till the days of Yeshua ben Nun. Even after Matan Torah, they didn't have Priya. The Gemara says in the first daf in Ha'orel, the final days, in the end of Yivam, it says the Perek Ha'orel. So it says, L'nitzna Priya l'Avram Avinu. He only had the mitzvah of Mila. Mila is to cut off the thick skin, the outer skin. And Priya is to roll back or to cut off. Today the practice is they cut off the thin membrane that's closer to the body, that's below the thick skin on top. That's called Priya. So the mitzvah of Priya began after Gilgal, when Yeshua ben Nun was commanded, Shuv Molas B'nai Sol Shenus, you should do a second Bris Mila. What is there to do if they already had a Bris Mila at the time of its Yisrael time? What is there to do a second time? So the Pashup shot in the Pasuk is, for the second time, do a big national Bris Mila. They did a big national Bris Mila before its Yisrael time. Then for 40 years, only Shevet Levi was observing Mila, and the other Shvatim didn't observe Bris Mila because it was a Chashash Sakona. The weather conditions were not conducive for the surgery of the Bris Mila. So most of the Shvatim didn't perform Bris Mila. Some days you should have known they were commanded. Shuma is not Esau Shein. It's a big national Mila for all the people who were born the last 40 years in the Midbar. That's the Pashup Shah. So the Gemara in Yevamos understands an additional level of interpretation in the Pasuk. Even those people who did have a Bris Mila 40 years earlier, before Yitzias Nisan, they had to have a second Mila done to them. Namely, they had to have Priya. That the Din of Priya began from the days of Yeshua ben Nun. Either should have stoned Yeshua ben Nun as the Hanovi Asheker. How can Novi come up in a new Din if you're going to do what Moshe Rabbeinu said, only to do Mila, so you'll be an Oral? And you'll be chayv kares. You have to do the way I tell you. Not allowed to listen to Moshe Rabbeinu from that one. That's what Yoshke said. No? That's what Yoshke said. You're not allowed to listen to Moshe Rabbeinu anymore. I came and I gave a new nevuah. You have to listen to me. So how did they listen to Yeshua ben Nun? There's places kashin. Yivam is afayin on the base. Ein novi rasha lachadish dovmei. After the last pasuk in Chumash Vayikra and the last pasuk in Chumash Bamidbar says that no other novi can contradict Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu has to say everything that's noig l'doros. And novi can tell you hayru asho. But how can Yeshua ben Nun be mechadish a new din l'daris and mikanu l'habo? The din requires that everyone who does mila has to do a priya as well. So Tosfos writes on the side of the Gemara, that fine in the base. Mistami, you have to assume that there must have been a halacha l'moshe m'sina. Moshe Rabbeinu must have said that in some future date a novi will come and tell you that you have to do priya. So from that time on, the priya will be binding. Like Moshe Rabbeinu said that you should make six ori mikla. And Kiyachiv Hashem Alakeches Gevulch of them. Time will come that you'll have to make another three Ori Mikla that adds up to the sum total of nine. So when the Novi will come and tell us after we'll conquer Keni Knezi Kadmayim, we'll have all the Eretz Yud Amimim. Until now, we only have Eretz Zayin Amimim. And then after Keni Knezi Kadmayim will be conquered, so we'll have Eretz Yud Amimim. So the Novi will come and tell us, now's the time to fulfill the mitzvah. We have to establish another three Ori Mikla. So you say that Novi is a Novi Asheka? No. Moshe Rabbeinu said in advance. There's going to come a time that a Navi will tell you. You should add on another three Ori Miklot. So then you listen to, when you listen to that Navi, you're basically listening to what Moshe Rabbeinu said. So that's what Tosfos says. Behechreach, you have to say. The same is true regarding the Priya. It must be that Moshe Rabbeinu told the Menevuah that a day will come that a Navi will come up and tell them that from now on you have to do Priya. Fine? So we do Mila, we do Priya, then we do Hatofas Dam. That's a shayla. Hatofas dam. Does it really say in the Gemara that you need hatofas dam bris? The Gemara says later in Ha'orel. The Gemara says later in Perek Ablaza the Milo that after you finish doing the Milo, you have to do mitzitza. The moil has to cause a little extra dam. Whenever you do a Milo, there's going to be a little bleeding. The Gemara says the moil has to draw a little extra dam, and the Gemara sounds like it says that if the moil, the Gemara says, if the moil doesn't do the mitzitza, you fire him right away because it's a sakana for the baby. The Gemara says in the end of Bar Mitzvah and the Teis that if you have a worker who's not doing a good job, let's say a secretary, and she doesn't space the letters properly or she misspells all the letters, you don't fire her on the spot. You tell her, you warn her once and twice and three times, whatever, you have to tell them. You have to space the letters and you have to spell the words and you have to check the spelling and so on. If it still doesn't work out, after warning a few times, then you have to fire them. If you don't fire them right away, the only time you fire someone right away is if it's a seder d'loy hoder. So the Gemara gives an example: a doctor, a moil, he does a surgery and he does a poor job, so he's going to kill people. So you don't give a few times till he learns how to do it. The Gemara says the town gardener, that he does work for everybody, and he's mekalkel. He planted everything wrong, and he was mekalkel everybody's garden. So it's a pseida deloy hadar. Or the Gemara says a malamed in a yeshiva. If the malamed is teaching wrong, so the menal doesn't have to warn him once and twice and three times that you have to prepare and you have to teach Chumash and Rashi and not teach the New York Times and you have to do this. If he doesn't teach the right thing the first time, so one strike and he's out. You don't give him a second chance. Not the way they do now. Everybody holds faket. The Gemara has the din is faket. When it comes to a malamed, he's ruining the talmidim. Every day of teaching improperly is a pseida dalei hadar. It's an irreversible hefsid. So you don't have to warn the person if he's not living up to his responsibility. So you fire him on the job. So the Gemara says that if you have a moil, the Gemara says later, not blood in the middle. If you have a moil who doesn't do matzitza, so you fire him right away because it's a sakona for the baby. So that's what many understood from the Gemara, like the Teferis Yisrael on the Mishnayos, right? That the sole purpose of the matzitza is only for medical reasons, in order to prevent the infection in the baby, and that's what the Teferis Yisrael writes, that Bizman is there, that they have antiseptics. So you don't need the whole mitzitza. The pashtus and the gemara is that mitzitza is only needed for the medical reason to prevent the infection. So the shaila is where did Tosfos is of the opinion that it's not so. Tosfos' opinion is that there are three parts to the bris. Just like you have to have milon, you have to have priya, so too you need haptochas dam. A little dam has to flow. The dam flows anyway. There's always going to be a little bit of dam. Mitzitza, the extra squeezing out of the extra blood, that the Gemara says is for medical purposes, pashup shatling Gemara, but a little bit of hatofas adam is necessary for the mitzvah of mila itself. How do you know that that's the case? And that's the mela, that's what Tosfos says, since you cause bleeding for the purpose of fulfilling the mitzvah, because the mitzvah of mila has three parts to it. The mila, priyana, tofas adam, so that dam that comes out, l'shem mitzvah, that's considered amlocha hatzricha legufa. That's what Tosfos says over here. Harab Yud, Harab Shimon, and Kufayim and Beis, they say it's muchach lekamon. That's their interpretation of the Gemara. It's muchach lekamon that when you do a malacha on Shabbos and you fulfill a mitzvah by doing that malacha, that constitutes a malacha atzvicha legufam. When you fulfill a mitzvah, does that automatically label that activity as nisakein? Or can you say no? You have to judge in common sense terms. You have to ask anachri. Who's walking by a pedestrian, or who's walking by in the street, you ask him, did I do a tikkun or a kilkun? And he doesn't know anything about mitzvahs. So Tosfos claims that that's a machlekes of Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, and Kuvava Medalef, whether a Torah mitzvah automatically labels the action that he did as misakein, or no, not necessarily. So you have to judge in each and every individual case, based on common sense terms, not based on fulfillment of mitzvahs, whether it's misakein or mekalkel. But this is accomplished, that if you're doing the malacha for the sake of a mitzvah, so that's going to be considered a malacha tzvicha legufa. Even if you'll say that it's not a mitzvah, but it will be considered malacha tzvicha legufa. Yeah. So where did Tosfos get this idea from? That hatofas adam lechud, and mitzitza lechud, hatofas adam is an intrinsic part of the mitzvah of milah. That's not merely that every time you do a bris milah, it's a psigresha that is going to be done. Let's say you'll use a clamp, and you'll see to it that there's absolutely no dam whatsoever. At the time that you do the bris milah, there won't be any dam at all. So Tosfos seems to hold that you're not yet to the mitzvah. Where did they get that from? So the Mishkan is Yankee quotes that it says so in the Zohar. Okay, but Tosfos never quotes any Zohar. The Zohar says, based on a pasuk in Lech Lecha, that it says three times the word bris. So it indicates that three parts to the mitzvah are bris. There's milah, there's priya, and there's hatafas adam. Every bris has to have hatafas adam. Where does the Gemara have hatafas adam? The Gemara has later in Perek Ablez in the milah a few instances. If a baby is noilad mohu, if a baby is born and there was an abnormal growth in the baby, so the or ha'orla never develops on the baby's body. There's no milah and there's no priya. There's no outer man, there's no outer skin, and there's no thin membrane on them. There's nothing to cut off. So what do you do? So there's nothing to do. What are you going to do? So the Gemara has a machlekes hatanoim in lechumra misafik and machlekes harishonim had a paskin. So we do a hatofas dam bris without a bracha. We do without a bracha because it's a machlekes harishonim whether it's necessary or not. But let's say a nochri habol his gayer, and he's already a nochri mohul. He already underwent circumcision for medical purposes, not for religious purposes. And then he wants to be Mizgayer. So that's a machlokes hatanoim. So again, misofik, we require Hatofas Adam, and we would not recite the bracha when doing the Hatofas Dambris. Yeah, but those two cases in the Gemara on Shulchan Aruch, the Ramo adds on, let's say there's a Nochri that performs the Bris Milah. The Gemara says in Avodah Zarah that you're not supposed to have a Nochri perform a Bris Milah. So what if a Nochri went ahead to the Eved and you had a Nochri perform the Bris Milah? So the Rambam says, but the Eved Farfan, there's nothing you can do about it. You don't gain anything by doing it over. And the Shulchan Aruch doesn't follow the Rambam and Shulchan Aruch with the Ramah Paskins that you have to have Hatofas Dambris. You have to have Yisrael do it later on a Hatofas Dambris. Then the Shach heads on in disagreement with the Ramah. Not only is that true if a Nochri did the Bris Milah, even if a Yisrael did the Bris Milah, Terch Shemayna, you're not supposed to perform the Bris until after Yom HaShmini V'Holo, either the 8th day or after. What if you do the Bris Milah before the 8th day? So it's possible even with the Eved, so the Shach says, but in such a case, you have to do Hatofas Dambris. Whenever you can't do the Bris Milah, either because Noelad Mahol, or because Nimal Shaloi Kedin, either Nimal Shaloi Kedin Ayidei Nachri, or Nimal Shaloi Kedin Terch Shmoina, or in the case of a Nachri, Habol is Gar Kishuhum Mahol, so in all these cases, be Paskim Isofik that you need Hatofas Dambris. So that's the question. In all those cases, you're doing Hatofas Dambris as a substitute Bimkaim Milo. You're unable to do Milo because there's no ore. There's nothing left. The Milo was done with Psula, no ore developed in the first place. The baby was born without an ore or them. So in those cases, he's talking about Hatofas Dambris as a substitute for Milo. But it's not really that it's part of the Milo. The Adatosis know that Hatofas Dambris is always necessary, even when you're performing a Bris Milo. In the Zohar it says, yeah, but Tosis never quotes any Zohar. The Adatosis know that it's so. So Rashi at the end of the Perek Kuflam and Zayin on the base, at the end of Perek Ablez in the Milah, Perek Ablez in the Milah has most of the Dinam of Bris Milah, it doesn't have all. Chas v'Shalom, the Gemara should put things in such an orderly fashion. The Rambam, they left it up to the Rambam. He should collect all the Gemaras and all of Shem. And then the tour was nice enough to take all the Rambams and put them out of order again. Shulchan Aruch has a lot of the Dinam out of order. You have to be a Baki Nitzlo to know how to find anything in the Shulchan Aruch. You can have one of the Dinam Amil over there, one of the Dinam over here. The Rambam, you have everything in the right place. That's Rav Soloveitchik, when people used to ask him Shabbos, he would always look in the Rambam. Not that we always pass like the Rambam, but he knew he would find it in the right place. He didn't have an alphabetical encyclopedia to look for things. So he knew if you look in the Rambam, you find everything, and then you don't always have to follow the Rambam. You look in the Mefarshim and the Magen Mishnah, the Ketz Mishnah, they'll tell you who disagrees, who agrees. That's a place to begin. That's the place to begin. Anyway, here, most of the Dinam of Bris Milah are in Perek Ablez of the Milah. So at the end of the Perek, there's a Rashi has a comment. The last Rashi in Perek Ablez of the Milah has a comment, has a translation of the words that appear in the Nusach HaBrocha. So you mala a baby boy, so you say, Asher kiddush you did in bet mechok b'sher asam tzatzov chas meres b'skodesh al kain. B'skarzos, as the reward for fulfillment of the mitzvah of Milah, B'skarzos, Kel Chai, the living God, Chalkeinu, Savei Lehatzol Yedidah Shereinu, Mishachas Lema B'risah Shasam Div Shereinu, instruct all those angels who are in charge, either Savei or Tzivo, the two readings over here. It says on the left-hand margin, on the side of the Gemara, the Rav Yankee Femden says the correct pronunciation should be Tzivo, with a chirik under the tzarek Tzivo. And the Shach quotes the others who say that the reading should be Tzavei. Okay, either God has already instructed, or God should instruct. Tzavei lehatzol yedidah she'ereinu mishachas l'man b'risah she'asam div shereinu. God should instruct the angels, that God has already instructed the angels to spare all of the Jewish boys from Gehenim in the schus of the fact that they have a bris milah on their bodies. Tzavei lehatzol yedidah she'ereinu mishachas, shachas is Gehenim. Where does this idea come from? So Rashi says, Shachas is Gehenim, the Siv, Apostle in Zechariah, Gamat, the Jewish people, there is a bor where there's no water. What is that bor that doesn't have any water? That's Gehenim. The bor ein mayim bo is a description of Gehenim, a melitza for Gehenim. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu has Shalachti Asirach, I have released the prisoners. Who are the prisoners? The people who belong in Gehenim. Are the prisoners? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, B'dambriseich in the schus of the mitzvah milo shalachta asirayich, have you released all of the Jewish prisoners? Libori maimba from Gehenna. So that's the source of this idea, that in the schus of the mitzvah milo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has instructed, or should instruct the angels to remove all of the Bnei Yisrael who have the bris milah from Gehenna. This is Gemara in Agadah, the second parak in Erevin. The Gemara says that Avraham Avinu sits up pischa shel Gehenna, and anyone has a bris milah, he doesn't let them go into Gehenna. So the expression that the pasuk uses, it doesn't say. In the expression that we say in the bracha, we say leman brisa shasam bivsareinu. This karzos, as a reward for the fulfillment of the mitzvah milah, should spare us from Gehenna. Man brisasha, some is saying because of the bris. That's the lashon of pasuk. That's the lashon of the bracha. But the lashon of the pasuk is b'dam brisach, in the dam of the bris. If the dam is only incidental, or if the hatochas hadam is only as a substitute bimkom to replace the bris when it's nimo shaloi kiddin, or nimo tachman, or nimo ideyakum, or there's no orla to speak of at all, there's no lad mohol. So why does the pasuk use the expression b'dam brisach shalachti atzarechem barei mayim boy? So it would appear from the lashon pasuk that hatofas adam is an essential, integral part of the mitzvah of milah itself. That's the mocker in Tanakh, in Zechariah chapter 10, that the agarite, the nusach habroch, and the agarite in Eridin have understood this pasuk. That's what it says in the Yalkut Shemayni, on this pasuk in Zechariah, that Rashi quotes Zechariah chapter 10. So the Gemara's tradition was that Hatofas Adam is an integral part of the mitzvah. I mean, it's not some incidental. Not some, it's a psikresha that there's always going to be dam. If you can avoid it, you don't have to have dam. No, it would appear from the Gemara, you really have to have dam. That was the complaint that the Rabbanim had when they started using the clamps in America. So originally they used the clamps that prevented all circulation of blood. So when they performed the milah, if they left the clamp on for a few minutes before they did the bris milah, so no dam bris would come out at all. So that's what they said. That's a bracha l'atol. That's against the din. They're not yet to the bris milah. So now they have other clamps that are just a shield to protect the baby, to make sure that you're not cutting incorrectly, but it doesn't really prevent bleeding. Even if you use the shield, even if you use a clamp, it doesn't prevent bleeding. It just prevents the mohel from slipping when he performs the bris milah. So that's what we assume. Tosfos is assuming like that, that when you perform the bris milah, this all the Tanoim agree that it's a melacha hatzvicha legufa, that's the Tosfos kuvav and aleph divam askal bechovil b'tzorach lekalva, the second Tosfos from the top of the daf. The Tosfos says, because you're doing it l'shem mitzvah, so that's why all the Tanaim agree that it's called tzricha l'gufo. The only machlekes ha-Tanaim is it called mistaken? So yes, the guy said, what, are you crazy? Why do you perform a circumcision on the baby? Baby's perfectly healthy. All of the limbs of the baby function very well. The goyim live to the same ripe old age as the Jews live. The Jews are not necessarily healthier than the goyim because of the fact that we have a circumcision. They don't have a circumcision. And everything, all the parts of their body function just as well without a bris milah as it functions by us with a bris milah. So why should you do surgery if it's not necessary? So that's a machlekes hatanayim. When you do something l'shem mitzvah, does that automatically label it as a misakin? Or do you say no? If in common sense terms it's not necessary, so it's not misakin, it's mekapa. But this, they all agree that the fact that I did it l'shem mitzvah makes it into the tzricha l'gufa. That's what Tosfos says. On Kufayim and Beis, the Mamas Chohorab Yudah, they say that's Muchach Likamon. Kine Muchach Likamon. That's Muchach Likamon based on their interpretation of the Gemara. Rashi does not agree with anything that Tosfos says.
Well, it's telling here that Rashi is having to suffer himself because if he's saying that Dam Yuba is an Ikra part of the Zitulan and saying that's not Shikul and Dufa, then those two.
Why do they contradict?
You're saying that Dam Mila is an acre part of the Brit Mila, and how is it not Shulagufa?
Rashi learns here on Kuf Hamad Beis that if you do Kriya to fulfill the mitzvah of Kriya, that's an entry Shulagufa. Because Shulagufa means I need it in common sense terms. If you rip the garment, sometimes you bring it to the tailor that he has to fix something is torn. So the tailor says that the tear is too tiny to repair. First, I have to rip a little more to make it possible to sew it up. So that's called the kriya. That's tzricha legufa. Karei amanas litzvah. In common sense, sometimes that's tzricha legufa. But a guy does kriya to fulfill the mitzvah kriya. So Rashi writes on kufayim base. That's called ein tzricha legufa. Misakan it is. Rashi and Tosfos hold opposite from each other. Rashi writes that if you do something l'shem mitzvah, it is called misakin. That's what Tosfos says. How can it be? On the next daf on kuvav and aleph, the Gemara says that's the machlekes of Yehuda Reb Shimon. But Rashi writes on kufayim base that whatever you do something l'shem, unless Rashi learns that the Gemara is only alibi to Reb Yehuda on kufayim base. But Rashi writes that when you do something l'shem mitzvah, that's called misakin, but it's not necessarily called tzrich legufa. And Tosfos lays everything backwards. They say, no, if you do l'shem mitzvah, and in common sense terms there's no tikkun, that's a machleg zabiyut Reb Shimon and kuvav and menalef, whether that's misakin or not. But it certainly is called tzricha legufa. Tzorach mitzvah is called tzricha legufa. Also, right, so you see that the dam is not just incidental. The way the tradition has it, that the damayah chayim refers to dam pesach and dam nilo, it's hard to say that the dam is just incidental. Why should the pasuk be talking about a case where we did our toughest dam bris as a substitute for milah? Most of the time you do a bris milah. How often does it happen that you have to do a toughest dam bris to substitute because you couldn't do the mitzvah kitzurosa, kikahoga? Yes, yeah, so the pasuk shot, the way the Gemara has its tradition, but damai chayi refers to dam pesach and dam milah. Dam pesach, that's not incidental, that's the essence of the mitzvah, to do shchita kabbalah halacha zvika, the dalad avodas adam. So you have to have dam pesach and dam milah also, it would appear. It's not just incidental, that's essential to the mitzvah of Mila.
Rashi is very mafurish, on Kuf Lamed Aleph Lamed Beis, on the bottom of Rashi.
Yeah.
Rashi says, Atopas Dam Bris Mitzvah, and he brings down the Pasuk of Sky.
Kuf Lamed Aleph
Lamed Beis, the bottom line. There's two reasons for that Gemara, why they didn't, the kid was green. The last line is the Rashi. Kuf Lamed Aleph Lamed Aleph, he's off.
Kuf Lamed Aleph Lamed
Aleph.
Mm-hmm. He says you're not yet to the mitzvah without any dam. Another reason is because it's a sakana, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Anyway, so Tosfos who thinks that the malacha, again, Reb Shimon clearly thinks that malacha involved in bris milah on Shabbos is a malacha. That's why the Gemara says we only allow milah bizman, milah shle bizman, a sotik milah shle bizman is not deich Shabbos and Yontif. So what malacha is involved? So some Rishonim said goizeis, and some Achraim say that it's misakin mana. That may be aliba de Reb Yudah, but aliba de Reb Shimon, it's clear in the Gemara that the malacha involved is chovel. So why? That's the question. So why is that called tzricha legufa? Tosfos shows from the Gemara the only machlekes of Yudah Reb Shimon is whether it's misakin or mekalkal. But the way Tosfos reads the Gemara, they all agree that it's tzricha legufa. They all agree. Rashi does not agree with that statement that Tosfos made. That's the bottom Tosfos. Tosfos keeps on quoting that Gemara from Sanhedrin Daf Pei Dalet to disprove Rashi. Rashi holds that it's not necessarily correct that it's going to be a tzricha legufa, but Tosfos insists, even though Reb Shimon holds that mekalkal is chai by chovel amaber, but you still require that it should be tzricha legufa. So why is it that by bris milah, Reb Shimon holds that it's not misakein, but it's tzricha legufa? So that's what Tosfos says. Misakein and mekalkal, according to Reb Shimon, depends on common sense terms. Yes, I go in the street, did I accomplish anything wonderful? Says no. What'd you butcher up the day before? Either I didn't circumcise my baby. What are you circumcising your baby? What'd you do it for? So that's what Reb Shimon holds that it's mekalka. But the fact that you're fulfilling a mitzvah with the hatof hasadam, the dam is the malacha. The dam, not the weakening of the baby because the baby's weak. That's not the malacha. Tosfos insisted that chavola is the hoytzuas hadam, as the pasuk says ki adam hu anefesh, that we had already a long time ago. Daf ein dam. So Tosfos assumes that hatofas dam bris is always necessary, even in the milah bizmana. Not just that it's a substitute for the milah, if you can't do a bris milah, so then the halacha requires hatofas dam bris as a substitute. No, It's an integral part of the Mila. Based on one Zohar, you say there may be another Zohar that contradicts it. And based on that pasuk in Zechariah Perek Tes. So that's what Tosfos says, that performing the Mila is certainly going to be considered a Melacha Tzvicha Legufa. Because whenever you do the Shem Mitzvah, that's labeled as Melacha Tzvicha Legufa. But Machleg Zab Shimon Rav Yudah is it going to be Misakin? So Rav Shimon holds that Misakin has to be in common sense terms. So it's not Misakin. So if it's not Misakin, how is it a Melacha at all? Oh, so it's a Raya that Mekalkel Bechoyvel is Chayv. And the same thing by Mavir. The pasuk says, "L'sivar eish b'chol mosh v'seichem b'yoyim hashamba." So the Gemara says, why does it say b'chol mosh v'seichem? What does that phrase mean? Even Moshe Bezdin, one might have argued the point and said that Mises Bezdin is Decha Shabbos. Why? I think we have this already, no? Mises Bezdin should be Decha Shabbos. Why? Because Mises Bezdin is so chomer a mitzvah that it even takes precedence over Akrabas Kol HaKorbanos Kulam. The pasuk says, Mim is Bechit Kachen Olamus. That if, even if this murderer is the one and only Kohen who's able to be Makruv Karbonis, if you're going to grab him away from the Mizbech and give him the death penalty, there won't be any Kohanim who are able to be Makruv Karbonis. So still it says in the Chumash, Mim is Bechit Kachen Olamus. If the fellow is Chayv Mises Bezdin, we administer the Einish, even though we know we're going to lose that on Akrabas Karbonis Tibur. So that pasuk indicates that you have a hierarchy, that the Mises Bezdin is more Chomer a Mitzvah than Akrabas Karbonis Tibur. Akrabas Karbonis Tibur, we know, Adrecha Shabbos. If it's a Kormish Hezman HaKavu, it's Decha Shabbos. So if A is greater than B and B is greater than C, then A is greater than C. That's called a Kavachomer of Yesh Bechlam Masayimon. There are two kinds of Kavachomer. One kind of Kavachomer, then I know that Karen is more Chomer than Shem Beregel. How do you know Karen is more Chomer than Shem Beregel? Because Karen is Chai B'Shuzaram, Shem Beregel is Pata B'Shuzaram. So that detail halach indicates that Karen is more Chomer than Shem Beregel. So any din in Shem Beregel that's chayiv should certainly carry over to Keren. So let's say Shem Beregel b'shus hanizik is chayiv nezik shalom, so it should follow automatically that Keren, even the first three times, normally Keren the first three times only pays chatzi nezik, and the fourth time pays nezik shalom. So that's what Rab Tarfon argues in the Mishnah in Bava Kama Daf Chafei, that Keren b'shus hanizik should pay nezik shalom even the first three times, based on a kal v'chomer. So that's a kalvacham in midinechad lachaver. It's not that A is greater than B and B is greater than C, and Mela is greater than C. There are only two things, the midinechad lachaver. We established that Karen is Mocham and the Shem Beregel based on some, either based on a svara, based on a detailed halacha. Here is based on a detail. There's no svara one way or the other. Based on a detailed halacha. Which detailed halacha? That Karen b'shusarab is chayv and Shem Beregel b'shusarab is pata. So that indicates that Karen is Mocham and the Shem Beregel. So in Mele, any chumah that appears in Shem Beregel certainly has to appear in Karen. So the Chotzer on Nizik, you should have to pay Nezik Shalom. We happen not to accept that Kavachem based on Dayu, a different reason why. But if not for that, there would have been a valid Kavachem. But that's a Kavachem in Midin Echad Lachader. One is Mohammed and the other. So any chumris that apply in the Kal should certainly apply to the Chomer. Or any kulis that apply in the Chomer should certainly apply in the Kal. You have a Kavachem in either direction. Once you establish that A is Mohammed and B, that means any chumra that applies in B certainly applies in A, or any kula that applies in A certainly applies to B. If there's a kula in the davar chumah, so certainly there should be a kula in the davar kala. If there's a chumra in the davar kala, there should certainly be that same chumra in the davar chumah. This is a different kind of kala chumah. If A is greater than B, B is greater than C, so A is greater than C, that's called the expectus calls that. Yesh b'chal m'saimon. This is bigger than, this is greater than that, and that's greater than that. So the melee is greater than C. That's a stronger kala chumah. That's considered a stronger kavachaymer than a kavachaymer stam midinechad lachaver. So that's what the Gemara says. I would have thought the Gemara Yevamis, the Gemara Sanhedrin. I would have argued the point and said that since Mises Bezdin is more chomer than Hakrabas Kol and Karbanis Kulam, and Hakrabas Karbanis Tibush is Manu Kavuz, the Cheshabas A is greater than B, B is greater than C, so Mises Bezdin should be the Cheshabas. That's why I have a pasuk that is not so. It says B'chol Mosh V'Seichem. B'chol Mosh V'Seichem has the connotation of Moshe Bezdin. That the Moshe Bezdin always used to be in the outskirts of the city. Bezdin would sit Pesach here. So L'Sivareish B'chol Moshe Sechem has the connotation even in Moshe Bezdin, even Bezdin wants to give Mises Bezdin, they're not allowed to on Shabbos. So that's how that pasuk happens to be talking about Sreifas Bas Koyim. Yeah. What if it's not Sreifa? What if it's Gila? What if it's Chenek? What if it's Zayef? How do you know that that's not allowed to be Doicha Shabbos? Means that's already a mamatzim. Once you have a marker from a pasuk that says that you're not allowed to administer sreifa on Shabbos, So what dinami, all the other mises does. It just means that the Kal v'chomer is not correct. I would have argued the point with this Kal v'chomer. A is greater than B, B is greater than C, A is greater than C. So the pasuk tells me that there's something wrong with the Kal v'chomer that you don't dash. Mele wants to say there's something wrong with the Kal v'chomer, so none of the mises beznas de Hashem. So the Gemara says, but Gevald, what can the malacha be? What is the malacha involved? It's havare, let's say sreifas bas koin. What's the malacha? Zog the Gemara, havare. That's how the pasuk reads. Lo sevar esh b'chol mashosem. What's the havare? They burn logs in order to melt lead, and then they pour the lead down the person's throat, either the bas koin or whoever it is, who gets the punishment of sreifa. The boiled bas koin doesn't get sreifa. He boyish the sarif, he below boiler. The boil doesn't get sreifa. He just gets plain old chenik. But there are people who do get sreifa. You should beat though. The punishment is sreifa. Sreifa applies to men once in a while. The same as it applies to women. Sreifa is bas koin. That happens not to apply. But the pasuk says, that's a special reason why only she gets sreifa, and the boil does not get sreifa. But under normal circumstances, sreifa does apply to men as well. So the pasuk tells me that sreifa constitutes a chilul Shabbos, and you shouldn't be down this Kal v'chomer. You're not allowed to do it. So that's the Gemara's question. Why is that a chilul Shabbos? Isn't it an act of mekalkel? Why exactly is it an act? Why is it an act of mekalkel? I'm burning the logs in order to melt the metal. It's like burning logs in order to cook some flesh, in order to cook some potatoes, whatever, in order to cook some soup, in order to cook coffee. So burning logs is mekalkel. So Tosis explains what's going on over here. You're burning the logs in order to melt the metal, in order to pour the metal down her throat, in order that she should die. He or she, whoever it happens to be. The Gemara talks about Sreifas Bas Koin, she. Or a man who was Baal Shriga. Baal Isha Bita is Sreifa. So that will also be Sreifa. So Tosis says it's the final result of the whole thing. I'm doing A in order to lead up to B, in order to lead up to C, in order to lead up to D. So if everything is leading up to the final stage, and the final stage is Mekalkel, then I label everything from the beginning as Mekalkel. If I make a fire and I burn logs in order to cook raw flesh, and then I go and I eat the flesh, eating the flesh, that's not Mekalkel. That's a tikkun. So burning the logs in order to cook it, everything is misaka in the havara. When you burn the logs, that's the malach of havara. And then the cooking of the flesh, the bishul, since it's going to lead up to eating food, which is a normal positive thing, even if the guy's overeating, even if he's eating fattened foods and he's not allowed to, he's going to get sick, he's going to die young because of that. Still, normally eating food is considered a normal accepted activity. So if he burns logs in order to cook the food, so the havare is considered misaken, and the bishul is considered misaken because A is leading up to B, which in turn is leading up to C, and C is a misaken. But here, burning the logs is going to lead up to melting the lead. Melting the lead is going to lead up to pouring it down her throat, which is going to lead up to her death. So if her death is not a misaken, that's a mekalkel. Killing somebody, so I say all the things that are leading up to it are also not labeled as misaken. Everything is labeled as mekalkel. So that's Rav Yehuda disagrees. Rav Yehuda says no, but since it's leading up to a mitzvah, so the mitzvah, the final result of killing the person, is called misaken because it's a mitzvah. So therefore, everything that you did to lead up to that final result is also called misaken. Rav Shimon thought that's not so. Whether it's a misaken or mekalkel has to be determined in common sense terms. Yelechka goy, I'll tell a goy. The woman was a bas koin shedinsa and we killed her. So I said, what'd you do that for? Everybody knows that. What's wrong? What do you mean? A bas koin, the galochim, the rule. They're mizana with them. They have for the galochim and the galochas. No? That's what it's all about. The whole religion is based on znus. So the ask a goy, do you think that we did tikkun a kill? What kind of tikkun? He killed the holy people. The very holy people, the bas koin. What did they kill him for? So that's what Rav Shimon holds, that since, if you ask in common sense terms, is it a tikkun? No. Why is it a tikkun? Why do you kill a person? And Rav Yehuda holds not that we judge it based on the fact that it's a mitzvah. The fact that it's a kima mitzvah makes it into a misakon. Rav Shimon says that it's not misakon. That's an einfall that Tosis learns in the Gemara, that if A leads up to B, B leads up to C, and C leads up to D, whatever, so if the final result is going to be kilkul, so I label everything all along as kilkul. Why is that so? Why is that so? But burning the logs, you always burn wood in order to cook food. That's always called Havare of. It's always called the Tikkun. Taisus says that's always called the Tikkun. Because the final result is that you're eating the food. That's a positive thing. There's something positive. But if the final result of the whole story is going to be that you're going to kill someone, so what do you kill a person for? It's a danger to mankind. So he did some sin. So what's wrong? What kind of a sin? Yes, Gandhi. What kind of a sin is that? He doesn't see what's so bad about it. That's a ninth fault. That's along the lines of the Mishnah that we had. Hamotias ha-meis b'mita patarafa la-mita sh-mita tzei lo-lo. There's a din of Iker and Tafel in Hoitkor. So Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank raised the question, does the din of Iker and Tafel only apply to Melechus Hoitkor, or does it even apply to other Melechus as well? So Pesach L'Chare seems to be implying like that, no? If you did one act that leads to another act that leads to a third act, and the third act is the final conclusion, is mekalkel, it's lacking tikkun, so even the other things that led up to it are also not labeled as misakin. Why? Because since everything is leading up to the final step, and the final step lacks tikkun, so everything that leads up to it is also considered as lacking tikkun. It's like also like ikir and tofa, not ikir and tofa that it comes out, it's muta. But if the ikir is lacking the sakein, so even the tuffel that leads up to it is also going to be considered as lacking tikkun. So Nachmal, so Reb Shimon has psukim and chumash. It says that to perform a milush lebizmana constitutes a malacha, and the malacha he assumes is not gozes, nor is the malacha misakin moneh. No, the malacha is haitzuas hadam. And Haitzos Adam, why? Because that's an integral part of the mitzvah of Mila. You need Mila, Pri and Haitzos Adam, three parts. That's not Teshmah. There are three parts to the mitzvah. Not some incidental, no, it's integral. And because it's an integral part, that's why for sure it's covered that it's called Malacha Tzricha Legufa, the holiday, as Teshu says. Everything the Hepa from Rash. So the only issue is whether it's Mesakan or Mekalko. So Reb Shimon holds that it's Mekalko. Shimon holds that it's Mekalko because Tzarech Mitzvah doesn't label it as Mesakan. And Rav Yehuda holds, why not? Mali levashal psila, mali levashal sanaman, and mali lesakin mila, mali lesakin kli. It doesn't mean, most of the Rishonim, it doesn't mean that mila is a tikkun mona, and the malacha involved is misakin mona. No. Malacha in mila is chovel. And the malacha in Tzreifas Bas Kohen is havore. Like the Baru Eish is Havara. And Reb Shimon says that you have to, since the Havara is leading up to the death of the person, and so he holds the death of the person is Mekalkal. And the Bris Milah is, in common sense terms, is Mekalkal. There is no Tikkun. So that's why even the things that are leading up to it are also called as labeled as Mekalkal. And the pasuk says he's still not allowed to do it. He's still not allowed to do it. So you see that mekalkal is chay b'chay b'lamav. Taisus points out, what if you don't have only mekalkal chay b'chay b'lamav? Yeah. What if you don't have to do the havara? What if I have from before Shabbos? I have there's a fire going, and I have the lead from Erev Shabbos, and everything is melted from before Shabbos, and the fire keeps on going into Shabbos. All I'm going to have to do on Shabbos is pour the lead down the person's throat. I won't have to do the Havara, nor will I have to do the Bishul, the melting of the, when you melt the metal until it becomes liquidy, till it melts, when you heat a metal, till it melts, that's a malacha of Mevashel. So what if both of those were done in Bodyom? The Eish is there in Bodyom, and the metal was melted in Bodyom. The only shaila is that's called Bishul HaPsila. Psila is the lead that you're melting. So what if the Havara was already done in Bodyom, and I don't have to touch it at all on Shabbos? It's on top of a fire. You don't need a blech. You only need a blech if you have food on the fire. If you have Shema, Fira Shema, Yechata, Bigecholim. When people are interested in eating food, then we're afraid that they may start talking around. It's like Zerah Derabbanan. But if you're interested in administering Mrs. Beznan Shabbos and you have the fire on in Bod Yom and you have the melted lead there, so Mustama, there is no Chumra Midirabbanan that you have to have a blech over there. What do you need a blech? Shema Yechata Bigecholim. Shamichat is when it's food that people are going to eat. The people, when it comes to food, they get carried away. They forget about all the malachas. Yes. If you're just doing a mitzvah, al sreifas bas kain, this time you don't have to be concerned it's going to get carried away and start being mechate b'gecholim and violate mechabo mavir. So Tosfos raises the question, what if everything was prepared in advance? So he's not going to be in violation of either mavir or in violation of mevashel. Everything, the melted lead is melted mevogyom. And everything, all I'm going to do is pour it down his throat and I'm going to kill him. So in such a case, would I say that that is Deicha Shabbos? Would I say that that is Deicha Shabbos? So of course not. The Pashtus is that Mises Bezin is never Deicha Shabbos. And it says, Lo Sevar Reish B'chol Meshasech M'yayim HaShabbos, Taisa says, not only is it forbidden because of the Havara angle, even if the Havara was taken care of in Bod Yom, and the Bishul HaSamonim was taken care of, and the Bishul HaPsila was taken care of in Bod Yom, just going to pour it down the floor, just going to do the Netilus Neshama on Shabbos, and Netilus Neshama is also awesome. So why doesn't the Gemara say that Netilus Neshama is Osir on Shabbos even if it's Mekalkel? So the answer is it is. That's Chayvel. That's the same as Chayvel. Chayvel is identical with the Malach of Netilus Neshama. Ki Adam Hu HaNefesh, that's Taka the same. So how do you know to declare that there are two exceptions to the rule that is Chayvel Amad? Maybe there's only one exception to the rule. The Mekalkel is Chayev by Netilus Neshama. Maybe the issue is because of the Netilus Neshama. Because if you're not going to say the Yisra, because Netilus Neshama is going to say the Yisra is only because of Havara, so what's about Skila and Chenek and Sayas? You're going to say that that's Mutar on Shabbos? No, you don't administer any Mises Bezin on Shabbos. Obviously, learn out from this pasuk that Netilus Neshama is Chayiv on Shabbos, despite the fact that it's Mekalkel. Tosfos says you still have to have Tzricha L'Gufa. So Tzorach Mitzvah constitutes a Tzricha L'Gufa. But according to Reb Shimon, you don't have to have Misakin. So where did Reb Shimon see that Mekalkel b'Havore is Chayiv? Maybe it's only Mekalkel b'Netilus Neshama is Chayiv. Who says Mekalkel b'Havore is Chayiv? The answer is that you learn two things from the pasuk. That's the question. How is that so? You learn two things from the pasuk. Like Sevara Eish b'Chol Moish v'Seichem. You know, I'll do Havore and Moshe Bezin. Moshe Bezin means when Bezin wants to administer Sreifa to someone, for some other. So you're not allowed to do it for two reasons. Because it's Netilus Neshama, even though it's Mekalkel Yechayev, and Havara, even though it's Mekalkel Yechayev. For either reason A or reason B. So you learn from the Pasuk to Dinim that Mekalkel Yechayev, they really can learn both from the same Pasuk. But you say, no, you learn from Mila, you only learn one half of it. You learn one Din. The fact that Milush Ladizman is not Deicha Shabbos, that teaches you that Mekalkel b'Chayvel is Chayiv. And Chayvel means until it's Neshama. And then from this pasuk, you only learn the other din, and Mekalkel b'Havore is Chayiv. So really, the two psukim teach you the two different dinas. One pasuk tells you Mekalkel b'Netilus Neshama is Chayiv, and this pasuk tells you that Mekalkel b'Havore is Chayiv. That's Reb Shimon's argument. And Reb Yudah disagrees and he says it's not true that since performing the bris milah is a mitzvah, so that labels it as misakin. Since administering the Mrs. Bezin is a mitzvah, that labels it as misakin. So all the other activities that are going to lead up to it are also labeled as misakin. If you are like Reb Shimon, that the final step is not misakin, it's mekalko, because he's judged by common sense terms and he asks a guy in the street, why that comes so stupid? What do you do that for? Why do you kill a person because she's Mizana? Every other person is Mizana. Why do you butcher up the little baby for? Well, it wasn't necessary. The baby wasn't sick. What do you do a surgery for? It wasn't necessary. Reb Shimon says that that's called Mekalkel. So the Shitas Reb Shimon, that's a Mitar Asvari house like that. So he derives from these two psukim that Mekalkel is Chai B'Chai V'Lamar, but these two are exceptions to the rule. And Reb Yudah disagrees and so he holds that Tzorach Mitzvah is called Misakin. So Tosfos writes on the bottom, the last 2.5 lines. Hachluk and the Mekalkel b'Chamor b'Farash Rashi Nafkan Tzuk Tishen Tzvicha LeGufa. Yeah, why is that? Mashman de Laboy the Reb Shimon Tzorach LeKabel Yafron. So it comes out. Rashi explains that if you're going to do Chayvel the Tzorach LeKalbo, he causes someone to bleed and he plans to use that dam in order to feed a keller. So Rashi learns that that's called Ein Tzvicha LeGufa. And Tosfos disagrees. Rashi holds that that's called Nahama. Rashi holds that that's called Ein Tzricha Legufa. Mashal Laboy Reb Shimon Tzorach LeKalba Uli Afron. If you would need Tzorach LeKalba, if you would need Tzorach LeKalba, then it would be Tzricha Legufa. If you need Tzorach LeAfron, then it would be Tzricha Legufa. So Rashi holds that what? Rashi holds that the two are interconnected. That's the whole Rashi. Rashi says that Tzricha Legufa is a detailed machlekes within the requirement for Misaken. According to Reb Shimon, whenever it's saying Tzricha Legufa, it's lacking Misaken. So the Pesukim indicate that by Chayvul or Mavir, one is Chayv even though it's ain't Tzricha Legufa. So the Mele itself understood that, that even Mekalkal Goma would also be Chayv. But Tosfos disagrees with the whole thing, that the two are not interconnected. That's what they quoted from Sanhedrin Daf Pei Dalet, that even according to Reb Shimon, that Melochash, that what, that Mekalkal is Chayv B'Chayv and Mavir, you still need Tzricha Legufa. How can Rashi say that Tzricha Legufa is a prat within Misakin, it's an offering Gemara. That Mikalkal is chayv, and you still need Tzricha Legufa. So you see, it's an unrelated din. It's a separate halacha. That was the one argument that Tosfos had against Rashi, that they spelled out in Mechayvel, Dima Masa Mechayvel. And he quoted Sanhedrin Daf Pei Dalet. Then in the top Tosfos, they quote the Rashbam. Pirush Rabbeinu Shmuel is the Rashbam, that's Rashi's grandson. He learned with his grandfather. The Rabbeinu Tam was a younger brother of the Rashbam, so he was a little baby when Rashi died. So he never learned with his grandfather. So he felt free to disagree more often with Rashi. But the Rashbam was mainly kofuf to Rashi. Every so often he also disagrees with Rashi, but he was more kofuf to Rashi. So he writes the same shot that Rashi writes. That's what Tosfos Pirush Rabbeinu Shmuel. And then they say on the fourth line in the text, the Chayim Mashkam of Sam Tach Pirush Rashi. The Rashbam is just saying over what Rashi said on this sugya, as he often does, the same as Rashi. So what did the Rashbam say? That the machloikis over here in the Gemara, Tani Rabbi Abohu, that there are two exceptions to the rule, Chayvulo Mavir, that's Alibad Reb Shimon. Why? Because every Chayvulo Mavir is going to be, always going to be Ein Tzricha Legufa. Ein Tzricha Legufa is always a lack of Misakein. So the Mele, it follows logically, if you hold Ein Tzricha Legufa is Mutam and Atayra, so how do you ever have Chayvulo Mavir? So it must be Bechreyach. That you don't need Misakin by Chovel Amavir. But Reb Shimon, but Reb Yudah, who holds that Ein Tzricha Legufa will be a deraisa, will be an Issa deraisa if you do it in a fashion of Misakin. So it's possible to speak about Chovel Amavir being Misakin, let's say Tzorch LeKalbo, Tzorch LeAfro, so that'll be considered Misakin. So what's the machlekes between Reb Yabohu and Reb Yechanan? The Reb Abohu presented a braisa that says, Kutz mi Chovel Amavir, and Reb Yechanan says, Pukpani Lebrua cannot be. So it comes out that Rabbi Abo is just quoting a braisa that follows Reb Shimon. Rabbi Yechanan says, Puk Tony Lebro, your braisa can't be correct, because Rabbi Yechanan holds that the halacha is like Reb Yudah, the mikakul is part of the Chayvul Amav. So that's what Tosfos says. The Gemara has an expression in other places, because somebody has a text that follows a different shita that we don't follow. So you tell them that that text is a Torah Sefer. That's ridiculous. It's not a Torah Sefer. That's Rabbi Yudah's opinion. You want to pass on Rabbi Shimon Gizun Tehe? So that's what Tosfos says. V'kashim kein amay amalei puktani lebro. Why did Rabbi Yechanan scream at Rabbi Bo? Throw out the braisa. Go teach it to the balabatim, to the amhevar. It's wrong. Otam shum nesviro leker Rabbi Yudah. Just because Rabbi Yechanan holds that the halacha is like Rabbi Yudah, and the kalkal is potas, man the tonic Rabbi Shimon shaskin alei. As it says in Chulam Daf Tezvav. The Gemara has such a question. How can they say puktani lebro? That it's a mistake, your braisa is a mistake. Why is it a mistake? It's a machlokes ha-tanaim. This braisa follows one time, the other braisa follows the other time. So this is what Tosfos is repeating on the bottom line on the last Tosfos. If he said to Achlema, the Rabbi Bo holds like Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi Yechanan holds like Rabbi Yudah. So that cannot be. So what does he tell him? Puk Tony Lebro, your braisa is wrong. My braisa follows the Rabbi Shimon Shita. And you have a Mishnah that follows Rabbi Yudah Shita. It's a legitimate machlokes ha-tanaim. What are you throwing out my braisa for? They the Nirikid appreciates the Yel, that was Tosfos Kasha. Ota Mishum Nisviolen Kereb Yudah, Man Dutonik Reb Shimon Mishaskin Alei. That doesn't make any sense. So Tosfos gave a whole different interpretation in the top Tosfos. What was the Machlokes Rabbi Abohu and Rabbi Yechanan with the Puktani Lebro? It's not that they're fighting whether you should accept Rabbi Yudah's opinion, accept Reb Shimon's opinion. No. Rabbi Yudah Reb Shimon on our daf, whether Mikalkal is Chabuchav and Amab is totally unrelated to their Machlokes by Yem Tzvich Alagufa. It's a different machlekes. The Tosfos showed in the Gemara like that. Machlekes you can see by Sreifas bas koyin, that it's a melacha deraisa. You see that the havar is a melacha deraisa, not only the netilas neshama, the havar is a melacha deraisa. And you see by bris milah that the chavola is a melacha deraisa. I bet it's mamish mekalkal. So Rabbi Yudas is not mekalkal, it's a kima mitzvah, it's called mesakin. Rabbi Shimon says, not true. Kima mitzvah is not called mesakin automatically in here in common sense terms. So if you take a poll of 100 grand, they'll all say, what do you do? Why'd you butcher up the baby? Why'd you give your woman Nisa? Because she was Mizana. Every other woman is Mizana. Well, she doesn't deserve any Nisa. What do you do? It's not a danger to society. So Rabbi Yudah holds that it's Mesakin because he did a Mitzvah. Rabbi Shimon holds that it's Mekalkal. So Rabbi Shimon derives, according to Rabbi Shimon, you derive from the Pesukim, the Mekalkal is Chai B'Chai V'Lamara. And according to Rabbi Yudah, there's no market to derive anything from. So this is totally, according to the text, this is totally unrelated to the other dispute regarding Svicha Lugufa and Svicha Lugufa. It can't be related. Tosfos claims it can't be related because they have their Gemara in Sanhedrin and Liel Dafayin Hay, the way Tosfos read it, and in Perikol Kisvin and stuff, Perik Safagachal and Priest Dafchav, they claim there are four Gemaras. Chay Mashma. They claim that there are four Gemaras that indicate that these two Machlokes are not totally Zebizeh. The two issues of Ein Svicha Lugufa with Misakan and Mekalkal have nothing to do with each other. So how do you read the whole Gemara then? So where does it come from, this Machlokes of Yudah Reb Shimon? Rashi said it's totally Zebizeh. The Amoraim figured it out based on the Machlokes of Reb Shimon and Reb Yudah. Rashi says Lo Yis Parishaych. He doesn't know where they got it from, but Li Nireh, that they figured it out. It's a function of the other Machlokes. Tosfos says it can't be a function of the other Machlokes. Tosfos writes it's Tzichem Lama. The last line in the bottom says Tzichem Lama. Hachzuk the Mekal Kamachabur. Kabbalah Hoysav Yarn. They had a tradition that the such a Machlokes is based on the Pesukim of Shreifas Bas Koyin and Mila, but it's taka not recorded in any Brisa. It's unrelated to anything else that they were fighting about. So according to Tosfos and Vaz Bashtei, the Machlokes, what is the fighting? What's the argument between Rabbi Abba and Rabbi Yechanan? That he said, throw out your Brisa, it's wrong. He says no. So Tosfos explains. Tosfos gives two pshat. So the first pshat Tosfos gives is that the Gemara knew all along that there's a Machlokes Rabbi Yudah Reb Shimon, where the Mekalkal is Chai B'Chai V'Lamad. The Rabbi Yudah holds Mekalkal is Potter, you need Mesak, and Reb Shimon holds Mekalkal is Chai. But the Machlokes Rabbi Abbo and Rabbi Yechanan is within Reb Shimon. Not a Machlokes, but the Pasman like Reb Shimon, Pasman like Rabbi Yudah. Machlokes is within Reb Shimon. So Rabbi Abbo understood, according to Reb Shimon, that even Mekalkal Gomer is Chai. Chutz Mechai V'Lamad, you don't need Mesak at all. And comes Rabbi Yechanan and he disagrees. He says it's not true. Rabbi Shimon holds you don't need normal Nisakein. And Rabbi Shimon's proof is from Sreifas Bas Koyin and from Mila, because Rabbi Shimon holds that a Tzorach Mitzvah is not called Nisakein. Rabbi Yudah holds Tzorach Mitzvah is Nisakein. Rabbi Shimon holds not called Nisakein. But a Shtikel Svara there is what Rabbi Yudah said. Rabbi Yudah says a Tzorach Mitzvah is absolutely called Nisakein. So Rabbi Shimon doesn't ignore it totally. Rabbi Shimon holds that that's a shtickel mesakin, but it's not up to par. It's not enough of a mesakin that it should be considered normal tikkun. So comes Rabbi Yechanan and he says that your brisa is incorrect. You have a brisa that's telling us that according to Rabbi Shimon, even mikalkal gomer is chaya b'choy v'lamabes. So Rabbi Yechanan says, I don't accept it. I think it's incorrect. Mikalkal gomer is not going to be chaya. Rabbi Shimon has to be moidas b'miktsas. He has to admit partially to what Rabbi Yudah said, that a tzarech mitzvah, if you're doing a malacha, the shem mitzvah, that it is a shtikl mesak. And true, he doesn't agree with Rabbi Yudah that fully mesak and normal mesak. But the mitzvah stikin it is. So here too, Reb Shimon is never going to say the chayv alamav is going to be chayv even the kalkal gomer. It has to be at least chayv b'tzarech li'afroi and mavir b'tzarech li'afroi and chayv b'tzarech li'kalbai. That's abnormal. The guy burnt down a whole house. The guy burns down a whole wooden house that's worth a few thousand dollars, a wooden bungalow, because he needs some ashes. He wants to dress up on Purim like a Shvarzer. So he needs a little techem. Which normal meshugan? What? He burns down a whole house in order to use a couple of ashes. It's not normal. Yeah, but at least there was a little tikkun. So Reb Shimon holds, not that Mikalkal Gomer is Chai B'Chai B'Lamav. Reb Shimon is Moida B'Miktas to Reb Yudah, that a Tzorach Mitzvah is a tikkun B'Miktas. You don't need a full degree. You don't need a Shir Shalom of Misakin. Ochat Shir of Tikkun is also good. So just like by Bris Milah and by Sreifas Bas Koyin, there's a mitzvah tikkun, namely that it's a mitzvah. So whenever there's a mitzvah tikkun, even though it's abnormal, that's an abnormal tzorach, so it's a mitzvah tikkun. So that would be enough. And Reb Shimon and Reb Yabo disagrees with the Reb Yechanan. And he says, no, I have a brisa that says chutz mechayv lamav. You don't need any tikkun at all. That's how the Tosis says on top. Al kinira the Rabba Bo, around 10 lines down into the Tosis. Al kinira de lemshat, the Rabba Bo, Rabbi Yechanan are arguing with sin Rabbi Shimon. Not that Rabba Bo holds like Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yechanan holds like Rabbi Yudit. So what does he get angry on the Brisa? Just because the Brisa follows the Brisa follows Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yechanan thinks he should pass like Rabbi Yudit. So therefore you say the Brisa is in a Mishnah, it's a Torah Sefer on the Brisa. No. Their argument is within Reb Shimon Pligi. The Rabba Bo Sabad Chavim Mavav Pishenso Kabli Afur Chayv Reb Shimon Gama Mila Voras Bas Koin. Even though there's no Misakin, Rabbi Yechanan says no. Rabbi Yechanan says the Reb Shimon Am Leim Chavim Kenika Ktsas Tikun. Going to talk with Kabel Tzorchli after all, because Mila Bavar there is a Ktsas Tikun Shlu the Tzorch Mitzvah. So the Reb Shimon doesn't agree fully with Reb Yehuda that a Tzorch Mitzvah is a bona fide Misakin, but it's a Mitzvah Tikun. It's not sufficient to be called tikkun in the other 37 malachas, but the chayv lamaver it is enough. Tzorach mitzvah is enough to be called misakin. So maver v'tzorach lekalboy. What is it? Maver v'tzorach leafro and chayv v'tzorach lekalboy is an abnormal misakin. So for these two malachas, that's sufficient. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, that you really need misakin, normal misakin, so tzorach lekalboy, tzorach leafro will not be enough. That's how Tosfos learns. So that's what Tosfos interprets as the machlokes between Rabbi Abohu and Rabbi Yochanan on the daf. Yeah, what does Tosfos continue? Af agav the kol shechet mikalkel hu ki diamin terakam the kulam. This is really a different Tosfos. This is a new Tosfos. That what? How can there be a machlokes hatanoim Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon? What a mekalkalus chayev by choyvel. What a mekalkalus chayev by choyvel. And Rabbi Yehuda holds that you putter. Mekalkalus chayev is putter. Tosfos, it cannot be. I've got kol shech and mekalkalus amin perakam of the chul. I take a live animal. Let's say that I could use this in a horse race. I take a horse. Worth $1 million. Worth $20 million. We use this horse in the horse race. And then I take a knife and I shoot the horse. And now we can sell it as horse meat. Gevaldik. While it was alive, it was Eid Menachai, no one can eat it. Now that we killed it, so the Goyim can eat it, the Jews can eat it because it's Behemet Meir. Even if you do a Shechita, it doesn't help. It's a Behemet Meir, it's an Avela too. Shechita is not Chal. It's not the Behemet Meir, a non-kosher animal, it's not Nitbas and Shechita. But the non-Jews are allowed to eat it now. Amoitzi, the Behemet Chayo, Midei, Eid Menachai, Lebenoya. So the Gemara says in Psochim, Tosfos quotes, the Gemara says in Chulin, in the Psochim, that that's enough of a tikkun to be considered misakin for Shabbos purposes. But the Gemara says, what if I'll take a sakin shalavah dizor, which is also banu? Let's say there's a church where they offer sacrifices to some avodah zarah, and they have all the things that are also banu, the three things, the actual getchke itself, the pestle and tselem itself is also banu. Then the noye avodah zarah, the rings that it's wearing, you have a statue, so they put on earrings and they put on necklaces and they put on clothing. So the tachshiti avodah zarah rasabano, and the tekuvis avodah zarah rasabano, and the mishamshi avodah zarah, all four things in avodah zarah rasabano. So the mishamshi avodah zarah include the knife that they use to shech karbonis for the avodah zarah. It includes the altar, it includes some whatever they have, a pan that they burn incense on. So that pan is also mishamshi avodah zarah. So the Gemara says, what if you take a sack and shall have a desert? It means it's Misham shall have a desert. Doesn't necessarily mean that they worship the knife. They probably don't worship the knife. The knife was used to shech sacrifices, the shame of a desert. And the sacrificing, the shechting, it was an act of tikruvis. So the knife becomes Misham shall have a desert. It's also bano. Then if you can be mevatlet, if it belongs to a non-Jew and the non-Jew declares, I don't believe in this have a desert. So once he's mevatel avodah zarah, the avodah zarah becomes mutah ba'anoah, and all of the mishamshe and all the noye also become mutah ba'anoah. The tikruvis will remain also ba'anoah, even if you mevatel it. It's not just mevatel tikruvis. But the avodah zarah with the noye avodah zarah with the mishamshe all become mutah ba'anoah if someone will be mevatel. Because ma'anoah is mevatel, it's going to remain also ba'anoah. The Gemara says, what if he took a knife, sak mishal avodah zarah, and I'm going to shecht with it? So then the Gemara says, mutah lishchet bo. Why? Because it's not considered getting hanoah from the knife, because the animal was worth more alive than dead. If you shecht the cow or the horse, whatever it is, and you sell it as meat, so you can only get so much money. You get a fortune of money. If you shecht it, you sell glatt kosher, you can make a fortune of money. But while the cow is alive, it produces milk. or whatever it else, it gives off calf. So you don't shech the cow when it's still young enough that it can keep on giving milk, it can keep on making babies. It's worth more alive than it is dead. So the Gemara says, you're permitted to shecht with a sakin shel avodah zarah. It's not considered getting hanor from the tikrubis. It's not considered getting hanor from the mishamshi avodah zarah. If you use a knife to shecht a live animal, unless the animal is mamish misukenis, the animal is just about to die, and if I don't shecht it now, it's going to become an avela. So I shecht it quickly, so it shouldn't convert to become a avela. So mamish, then I use the knife to save me a fortune of money. But if the behemoth that I'm shechting is not a misukenis, it's a gesunte cow. It's a healthy, strong cow. So then it's worth more alive than it is dead. So the Gemara says, with respect to getting hanor from avodah zarah, that's not called getting hanor. So what about over here by Shabbos purposes? The Tosfos gives these. This is really a separate Tosfos that has nothing to do with anything that comes before or after. So Tosfos explains for. With respect to the prohibition of getting hanor from Isuri hanor, like getting hanor from Mishamshi Avodah Zarah, you have to judge on the whole case in its entirety. The bottom line is tikuna yeser al kilkula, is it kilkula yeser al tikuna? So if the animal is worth more alive than dead, and there is no need to shecht it now, it's not a misukenis. I went ahead and I shechted it, true, you do gain a little bit by shechting it, you omoti the live animal midei ev menachai. But since it was worth more alive than dead, so then in the overall picture, the sum total of the whole thing, the sahako, is going to come out that kilkuli esra tikuna, so that's called mekalka. That's not called getting hanor. But with respect to Hilcha Shabbos, the term mekalka is not judged the same as with respect to getting hanor. So getting hanor from Mr. Hanor, you have to determine based on the sum total. If you have a kilkul that's offset by a tikun, you have to determine is the kilkuli esra tikuna, is tikuna esra kilkula. If the kilkul is greater than the tikkun, then it's not called getting hanor. It's called mekalkol, and it's not a violation of getting hanor. But over here, for Shabbos purposes, even if it's going to be kilkuli, yeser al tikkuna, that's enough to be called mesakein with respect to malachas nashevas al soter. That it's a mesakein for malachas purposes, even though the kilkul is greater than the tikkun. Okay, so these few lines in Tosfos, these are separate Tosfos. Abgal kol sheikh me kalk kam in per kam de khum sakh shlo vet mut lish khab mo de rabun in sham bis khayf de dak lin yan aber izar khosh me kalk what me dak lin yan aber izar lab dak dak lin yan isuri hano with respect to getting hano from isuri hano they don't mean aber izar aber izar literally dak lin yan violation of isuri hano I say it's khosh me kalk why de sibli yebar kam yom na khaven that basically it back is just a mocker for the din that aber izar is also banro that's all. No special hidden kavanas in this line. The chsib anug there is hakosim. No, it just means the pasuk says you're not permitted to get hanor from avodah zarah. That kilkuli yes al tikuna, but lachash v'leiner. Given the kilkuli yes al tikuna, but for Shabbos purposes that you need misakin as opposed to mikalko, it doesn't have to be tikuna yes al kilkula. As long as it's malachas mashav, as long as it's a shtikul a mashu who have a tikun, that's good enough. That's the normal pshat. That's the machlokes between Rabbi Abohu and Rabbi Yochanan is the machlokes within Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Yehuda holds that mekalkal b'chavul ma'aber is poti. You got to have misakin. And even the Rabbi Shimon holds mekalkal b'chavul ma'aber is chayev. That's now a new further machlokes between Rabbi Abohu and Rabbi Yochanan. To what extent will Rabbi Shimon say chayev? So Rabbi Abohu understood Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Abohu understood Rabbi Shimon that even if it's mekalkal gomer, it's chayev. And Rabbi Yechanan disagrees and he says, no, you have to have Torah Lekalba, Torah Leap, at least you need a tikkun b'miktza. If it's no tikkun at all, that even Rabbi Shimon would agree that you're not kind. That's the first pshat in Tosfos. The Tosfos says, al kenira, not like the Rashi and the Rashbam's pshat. Now Tosfos quotes Rabbi Natama for is an alternate mahalak, but also, they're disagreeing with Rashi and the Rashbam, who say that the machlokes Rabbi Yehoshua and Rabbi Yechanan simply is, but they hold like Rabbi Yehuda, hold like Rabbi Shimon. They say that's impossible. How can he scream at him, put Tani Lebra, throw out your Braisa? The Braisa follows Reb Shimon, quits Mechlevel and Marvin, he holds like Reb Yudah. So why should he tell him to throw out the Braisa? He goes according to a different Tana. Say, I don't accept, I don't pass him like that. So it cannot be. Cannot be that the Machlek is Reb Abo and Reb Yechon simply is what he should follow, Halacha Lemaisa, what he should pass like Reb Yudah, pass like Reb Shimon. No, the Machlek is within Reb Shimon. The Reb Shimon holds the mekalkal is chayev b'chayvul mavir. So what exactly does he mean? So what does Tosfos say? Rabbi Natama Forish, the other choshev the Rabbi Yudim mekalkal b'tzoch lekabli yafal afi sheinatikin bo b'osir sho el alacha mikan the alacha sheinasis chabura bo hadam. Lacha shekolsa ha-havora bo ha-efer. What does Rabbi Natan say? Nachamol, again, the machlokes Rabbi Abohu and Rabbi Yechanan is again within Rabbi Shimon. Is within Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Yudah holds that if you mekalkal you potem on all 39 malachas, there are no exceptions to the rule at all. Chayvul mavir, not exceptions. You have to have that it should be a misakin. So the misakin, you generally require misakin that the tikkun should be b'shalas hamalacha. If I do a malacha now and later it's going to develop into a tikkun, so that's not called malachas machshavas. It has to be a tikkun that's simultaneous with the malacha. And Rabbi Shimon disagrees with Rabbi Yudah. He learns that from Sreifas Bas Koina from Mila Shleb Bismano that Chayvul Mavir the Kalkal is Chayv. The only thing is it's a detail Machlekes Rabbi Abba Rabbi Yechanan within Rabbi Shimon. So before Tosfos said the detail Machlekes was it's along the lines of the previous Bala Tosfos, but it's slightly different. The previous Bala Tosfos said that Rabbi Abba and Rabbi Yechanan argue whether within Rabbi Shimon would Rabbi Shimon at least require a Miktas Tikkun. So Rabbi Abba thinks you don't even need tikkun at all. Rabbi Yechanan thinks no, you need at least miktas tikkun. Has to be mavir v'tzorach le'afroi and chayvul v'tzorach le'kalba. Has to be a miktas tikkun. So now the Rabbi Natam has along the same line, but it's a different word. Now that it has to be a miktas tikkun, you need a tikkun even though the tikkun is lachazman. By all the other 37 malachas, you need a more of a tikkun. The tikkun has to be simultaneous with the pu'ula of the malacha. While I'm doing the malacha, I'm already misakin something. If I do the malacha and I don't accomplish anything until a later stage, that's a lack of misakin, and you would not be chayv. But by chayvul mavir, that's machlek. So Rabbi Bo quotes a braisa, chutz mi chayvul mavir, you don't need misakin at all. The tikkun of lachazman is never recognized as a tikkun. So we're also by chayvul mavir, it's not recognized as a tikkun, so therefore it's irrelevant. Lamal of lamar. And Rabbi Yechanan says, no. Rabbi Shimon disagrees with Rabbi Yudah, you don't need a full degree of tikkun by chayvul mavir, at least you need a chati shir of tikkun. What's a chati shir of tikkun? Not because it's abnormal to beat somebody up in order to give some dam to your dogs, which is abnormal. No, not like the previous Bala Tosfos said. What it means is that the tikkun comes not simultaneously with the malacha. Then time for Haro Chashu Rabbi Yudah Mikalkom Tzorchul Kabel Ochli Afro. Shein Atikun Bo Biyosa Shor. Rabbi Yudah holds that it's a lack of tikkun. And with the Rabbi Shimon, it's a machlokes between Rabbi Abba and Rabbi Yechanan. Do you need at least that the tikkun should be bo lachazman? Or should I say no? Tikkun lachazman doesn't count at all. By the other 37 malachas, by these two malachas also, it's irrelevant. So you don't even need Tzorchul Kabel Tzorchul Afro because it doesn't add anything. It doesn't make it any worse. Miktas tikkun is not called a tikkun at all. And Tosfos affects Akasha. How can it be? But the Gemara says in Psochim, in the Chulin daf Mem, when you shecht the behemah, l'avoy de zora, an shechet behemah l'fnei avoy de zora b'shabbos, is chay mishum netilas neshama. So how is that nesakin? If you shecht the l'shem avoy de zora, becomes tikru, this means that it becomes also b'hano. So if it becomes also b'hano, I just created in these three hanos. How is that chai mishum Shabbos? He's shechting the behemah on Shabbos. Chai mishum netilas neshama. But it's mamish mikalkal. By his shechting it in the front of the avodah zarah, the shem avodah zarah. He just created in these hanos. So the Gemara says no. Misakin hu shematzir midei isa ev menachai. The bottom line was that it was worth more. He made a kilkel. He shechted the shem of his eye. He makes the whole thing into tikrubis. He makes it also banor. Before he started up with the animal, it was not a tikrubis of his eye. It was muta banor. Adirabe. After he did his malacha, he's losing out on everything now. The whole thing is also banor. So that should mamish be a kilkel. So the Gemara says, no, since he's moitim in the eid menachai le ben noyach, for a Jew is not allowed to eat this name because it is nishchat the shem of his eye. It's tikrubis. It's also banor. A goy is allowed to eat it. A goy is not prohibited from getting hanor from Isuri hanor. I have a is one of the seven mitzvahs b'nei noyach. No, but a is from the seven mitzvahs b'nei noyach. They're not permitted to worship Abed Zohar. But you're going to say, Avodah Zarah is also b'hanos from the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach. No. Avodah Zarah is not also b'hanos. That says, a Peladiki Chidushi Haran in Masechus Avodah Zarah. He writes, the Goy Mamatsuvan Avodah Zarah, and therefore the Goy is not permitted to get Hanoah from Tikruvus Avodah Zarah. So on the bottom of the page, this is the way the printers used to, the bottom of the page he writes, it says, the publisher writes, Peladikiran, he asked Rabbi Kiveger, I think, yes, Rabbi Kiveger was alive at the time that they were printing it. In the early 1800s, Rabbi Kiveger said he didn't know pshat in this run. How can it be that the goy is muzah not to get anor from tikruvus avodah zarah? The goy is not allowed to worship avodah zarah, but it doesn't include in avodah zarah that you're not allowed to get anor. So that's a shverer run. The pashat pshat in Gemara in Chulin daf mem is against the run. The Gemara says yishech the behema v'shem tikruvus avodah zarah, it becomes also bano. So the Gemara says, how is that misakin? It's mekalkel on Shabbos. How is it misakein? How is that tikkun of Natilus Neshama? It's mekalkel. Gemara says misakein in a slim case. So matzil medeiv menachay bebenetz. So Tosha says, but it's kilkuli yeser al tikkun. The same as what they said before. Kilkuli is yeser al tikkun. So that's only an issue in Isuri Hanor. It's kilkuli yeser al tikkun. So the Gemara says in Chulin Daf Ches that it's not called a violation of Isuri Hanor. But for Shabbos purposes, even if kilkuli yeser al tikkunai, a tikkun the mikzas is also enough to be called melechas machsheres. So you see from the Gemara that the Jews are not allowed to get hanoah from the tikruvish, but the goy may get hanoah. The goy is not allowed to eat it either. So what do you mean matziyam de'ev and achayle benar? If it's also because of tikruvish, it's a mafurish Gemara that the nochrim are permitted to get hanoah from tikruvish. They're not allowed to eat de'ev manachay. Once I shechted the matziyam de'ev and achayle benar. So Tosfos svekta kasha. But the Gemara says there in Chulin Daf Mem, you shecht an animal for tikruvus avodah zarah mitziyam deiv menachay lebenah. So the malach is done now, and the hanor comes later. So if the goy wants to eat the behemah, he'll eat it later. So that's not the tikkun d'shas ma'aseh hamalach. The Rabbi Natan claims, whenever the tikkun comes simultaneously with the malach, that's in all 37 malachas that's called mesakin. And the shayla is in these two malachas. And the two malachas are choyvel and maver. So Rabbi Yehuda requires that you have to have normal mesakin has to be a tikkun simultaneously with the malacha. And within Rabbi Shimon, it's a machlokes between Rabbi Abohu and Rabbi Yechanan. Rabbi Abohu says you don't need any tikkun at all. You don't even need a tikkun lachazman because tikkun lachazman is irrelevant. It doesn't help. And all the other 37 malachas, so these two malachas are exception to the rule. You don't need a tikkun at all. And Rabbi Yechanan says no. If there's a tikkun lachazman, is also good. The Tosfos asks Rabbi Natan, what is he talking about? I mean, a tikkun lachazman is not considered a mesakin in all the other 37 malachas. And only by chayvul and maver is a machlekes Rabbi Abba and Rabbi Yechanan within Reb Shimon. But it's an often a gemara that when you shech the behemah lifnei avodah zarah b'shabbos, that it's called Mesakin because you've moitzim the eid menachay lebenaya. So either the tikkun comes later. You see, I mean that Gemara is only alibed Rabbi Yechanan. It's only alibed Rabbi Yechanan holds that if the tikkun comes later, you chay. That Gemara is against Rabbi Abo and it's against Rabbi Yudah. That's a brisa though. That's a brisa. The famous brisa. Nobody argues with that. The Tosfos says no. Moitzim the eid menachay lebenaya happens immediately. That's not a tikkun that comes later. The guy is not there in the slaughterhouse that he should eat it right now. But the Matziyam Deiv and Achad Ben Noach is accomplished immediately. That's what I say.
Adam should also be like that. The Shemim Loch is in Tzoros Adam, so yeah. Adam comes out together with the Loch.
Yeah.
Why does he say that later?
I don't know. Tosfos says that he's going to use the ashes later. He's going to use the ashes later. The Bain is going to suck the blood later. Yeah, but he already has the dam right now. He already has the ashes right now. He's just not going to use it till later. But the tikkun is simultaneous. I don't know what that means. Let's see again. That's a pelentosis. Then the time before, the other chashu, Rabbi Yehuda mekalkel b'tochel kabli afro. Rabbi Yehuda doesn't recognize this tikkun. Why? Shein tikkun bo, the first white line in the tosis. And kuvavim and after tap tosis. Lefi shein tikkun bo b'osur short. Not simultaneous with the melacha. Lus bo lachazman. Lachashen ases chabura bo hadam. What do you mean? The malacha of chabur is haitzos adam ki adam o anefesh. What did he say? They come to bavar in that kashin. They say the dog is not going to suck the dam till later, but I have the dam now. So they say no, the dam comes out after the chabura was done. What do you mean? That is the definition of the chabura, the hoitzos adam. What do they say? The dam comes out after. The dam is the chabura. What do you mean? The hoitzos adam is the chabura. Lachash kol sabor bo hoifa. That I understand a little bit. Also not too much. So you say, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that doesn't qualify as misakin, because the tikkun doesn't come until after the malacha is over. But the sheichet is the gemara daf mem in Chulin. A sheichet behemah hoisa behemah chaver vutzel afnei avodazor v'shochta b'shem avodazor b'shabbos. So it says chayiv chay mishum mitilus neshama on Shabbos. Aye, but he shechted l'shem avodazor. The says no, it's a misakin. Moitzim deiv menachayle benoyah. The Yisrael is also mishum tikruvis, but the goyim are permitted to tikruvis. So it's moitzim deiv menachayle benoyah. But the sheikh mishat hakil the bolatikon. Shemoitzim deiv menachay. That's the gemara pesach and the gemara chulin daf mem. So they say that that's simultaneous. At mamish at the time of the shechita, he removes deiv menachay. So that's the problem by the dam also.
Why?
Huh? How you mean by making a black and blue mark?
Yeah, in the animal.
I mean, I can choke an animal to death. Yeah, but here the whole malach of netilas and shama consists in the fact that ki adamu anefesh, that the dam when it's circulating and the blood circulatory system, that's adamu anefesh. Because bleeding, so that blood is considered dead, so that's netilas and shama. So why does Tosis consider that lachamikam? I don't know. The lacha shenasa, so they said savort. You got to figure out what it means. Lacha shenasa sachabura bo hadam. What do you mean? That is it. Why is it lacha shenasa sachabura? That is the definition of the chabura. Choyvel means I saw hadam because ki adam hu anefesh. There's something missing in this line over here. Why do they consider that lacha mikan? It's a major difficulty in the text. So these are the two suggestions that Tosis gives, not like Rashi. Rashi and the Rashbam learn that the Machlekes Rabbi Bo and Rabbi Yochanan simply is, whether you hold like Rabbi Yochanan, whether you hold like Rabbi Shimon, or you hold like Rabbi Yehuda. That Rabbi Bo quotes a Braise, Choyvel Mavir, is the calculus Chayiv, Rabbi Bo holds like Rabbi Shimon. And Rabbi Yochanan says, Puktani Lebro, he doesn't agree with Rabbi Shimon, holds he should pass like Rabbi Yehuda. So Tosis says that's impossible what the Rashbam and Rashi say. So how does Rabbi Yochanan say Puktani Lebro? If it's a famous Machlokes HaTanaim, so what does he say? Your Braise is incorrect. Your Braise is a one Tana, and I don't pass like that, but you can't say Puktani Lebro. So that's what prompts Tosis to interpret the two shades of interpretation. Tosis says no. The Machlokes Rabbi Bo, Rabbi Yochanan must be within one Tana. They're arguing with each other. Each one says the other one is dead wrong. No one ever said it. Not that the other, Reb Shimon said it, and I don't pass on Reb Shimon. How do you throw out a Braise? He says, no, your Braise is incorrect. I feel like a little bit Reb Shimon. You still need, you need tikkun b'miktzas. So then the Tosis, the Bala Tosis, and Rabbi Natan argue on the details of the pshat. What does it mean, tikkun b'miktzas? So the first Bala Tosis said, abnormal tikkun. It doesn't pay. In common sense doesn't pay. To burn down the whole house because he needs a little handful of ashes. Chosin is getting married, they want to put ashes on the Chosin's head, so they burnt down a whole wooden house. So they have to have a kazayis of ashes. They needed Erev Tisha B'Av, you want to dip your egg into ashes, so he burns down a whole house in order to have some ashes. The Chamashugana. So the Rabbi Natan, so the first Bala Tosis says that is the Machalikas Rabbi Abba and Rabbi Yechanan. By Chalibal Amavir, does it make sense that you should require Tikkun and Mikzos? And no, Tikkun and Mikzos is Lav Shmei Tikkun and all the other Malachas. That's irrelevant over here as well. Rabbi Natan learns that Tikkun Mikzus is story a little different. He knew that it should be simultaneous. And we're not sure the details of the Rabbi Natan are quite problematic. Why he considers by Chayvel the Tzorech Le Kalboy, why is that called Lacha Mikain? The Lacha, Shenasa Sachabur, Bo Hadam. Why is that Lacha? That is the definition of the Chabur. I don't know.
There is a Pshat in Shem that even like the Yishami, that
Shem
HaMlach is not that he saw as Adam, but it's the Chlisha's Va'eder. Such a Chlisha Aram from Zion.
Therefore, one.
So, there are two things here. The Chafsa in which the Mlach is done is So the Aver gets destroyed. That's the Nativus Neshama of that Aver. Mm-hmm. The Dam comes out later.
Mm-hmm.
It's two separate things. That's not the Shem Ramacha.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the Rabbi and Tamar is like that.
Yeah, that's very, yeah. Tyson's raised that possibility in the other places on Daf Fine, sure. Yeah, in Ksubis, and before they raised that, and then the Tyson's rejected it. Yeah. Tyson's quoted that possibility. Chalishas habehema is the malocha, and that's the malikotel kula malikotel paga. What's the difference? Whether you kill the animal or you weaken the animal?
That's what Iran said.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. But the Tesis usually rejected that because of this Gemara, that they learned that performing Bris Milah is just a machlekes, is it misakin or is it not misakin? But they all agree that it's tzricha legufa. Why is it tzricha legufa? Because the Malach is haitzoas adam, not the halisha seifa, and haitzoas adam is an integral part of the mitzvah Milah. Why is it an integral part? Because Milah needs three parts, Milah Priya and haitzoas adam. Not the hachlosha seiva. That's what Tosis argued against that in Ksubas and before. They didn't like that pshat. So here, if you would go with that pshat of hachlosha sabehema, hachlosha sabachai, then we would understand why the dam comes after the chabura. La'acha shenasa sachabura bo hadam. Yes, you would have said the definition of the chabura is that the animal becomes weakened. But that was what Tosis rejected. That the Tosis says ki adam u'anefesh, the whole fantastic pshat. So hachlosha sadam is the malocha of chavola. So how can they say la'achar achabura bohadam? That is it. It's not that it's not even that it's simultaneous. It's by definition that is what the malacha consists of.
You make
it's
a pella.
You do what?
You put on a tourniquet. The tourniquet stops bleeding.
Yeah.
Make a chabura. It's not a tourniquet. Then it gets quicksand. Then Shabbos is out. Then comes blues. It's not identical.
No, you want to give a case where what? First, he does a habura, and the dam doesn't come out till later. How does it happen? But the definition of habura means I saw
Adam. In other words, he didn't make habura then.
So how can it be that he does the bris milah over here? No, he does the bris milah, and then the dam comes out. So the flowing of the dam is ki adam hu anefesh, so that's called natilas neshama. So how is it possible to say that the dam comes later? The coming out, the leaving of the dam from the body is by definition.
If you don't have blood coming out, that's the definition of habura then.
That's what Tosha said before. So what do they mean over here? That it comes out afterwards. That is it. That is the definition of the malacha of chover. Unless he says hachlosha saguf, but that's what Tosha rejected all along. That's a problematic line. That's what they said. So Rabbein and Tam's child is difficult. Let's see, what's the next? Yeah.
How is Rabbein and Tam going to understand the Mishnah which says, Mikatal is not the second, Shurik in the second? So there, the tikkun's always going to come afterwards. You need the tikkun to come at the same time, so why should that be said?
That's what they ask, yeah. That's what they ask at the end of the Tosfos. The Kari Amanaslit Mech, Amanaslit, the Mechav Kuliyam, Agav, Shasa Kislein, Bo Atikun, the Tikkun only comes later. They say, well, that's a definition. Those malachas are exceptions to the rule.
Right, that's a definition. Not only those malachas, that's part of the definition. It seems like
going
about all the malachas.
Yeah. So, okay, that's a weak point in the Rabbein Tam. He says, no, that's only in those malachas.
So when the Mishnah says, Mechav
Kuliyam,
it's only going in those
right, where the essence of the malacha is that it's a mekalkal, and the halacha says if you do amanas l'sakin, karei amanas litzfor, and so on, is a malacha, even though the tikkun is only going to come later. Talmanas, he says that's the definition of those malachas. But in the normal malacha, where we require tikkun, so the tikkun has to be simultaneous with the malacha. The tikkun comes later, and the 37 malachas tikkun comes later is no good. Except by Chayvul Amavir, that's the machlekes between Rabbi Yechanan and Rabbi Abo. Rabbi Yechanan says, you need a shtikl misakin, so a shtikl misakin would be if the tikkun comes later. Yeah.
Wait, how's Rashi going to understand Xerid Rabba? By there, by Otos Lulos, so that's tikkun mitzvah?
carrying it.
Otherwise, it should be empty. Without the mitzvah, it should be mochshen and tzirich l'gufa.
The fellow is carrying not to blow shofar.
No. So it's only melacha tzirich l'gufa because of the mitzvah.
No, he's carrying the shofar in order to use the shofar in the other location. So he's going to do something with it. I think Rashi says over here when he does a malacha, and that's all. He does the malacha. What's the case over here? He does Korea, and he's Yotzei HaMitzvah, or he performs the Bris Milah. But he's not going to do anything with the Dam later on. He just performs the Bris Milah, which itself is an act of Kilkul. So Rashi says, since that itself is a mitzvah, so that's called Mesakin by definition. And Tosfos says, no. But over there, you're carrying the Shofar to a new location in order to use the Shofar. You're going to use it for something or another. You're going to blow the Shofar with it. So he says that there, that's called Tzvicha L'Gufa. That mitzvah is Tzvicha L'Gufa, because he's going to use it for something. He's talking about here, you're not going to use it. Just the act of Kriya per se, or the act of Chavola per se, the performing of the Bris Milah, that per se should be labeled as a Tzvicha L'Gufa and as a Mesakeh. So Rashi says that that itself is an ein tzvicha l'gufa, but they're not using the chepta shel melacha later. And Tosfos says no. The fact that you have a kiyum mitzvah, that's considered the equivalent of using it. But in your case, he's going to carry, then he's going to use the object in the new location. He's going to carry a newspaper to the other place, and he's going to read the newspaper. He plans to carry the newspaper in order to read the newspaper. He's going to carry a lulav in order to shake the lulav. So even if shaking a lulav weren't a mitzvah, it's a secular act, but still, he's carrying it in order to use it in the other location. So that would be a tzvicha l'gufa mistam. Some Rashi will agree to that. That's mamish a tzvicha l'gufa. The only argue is when you're not going to do anything after the melacha is done, you're not going to use the object to chef tzvicha l'gufa for any other hishtamsh. The Rashi said before, that's called Ein Tzvicha L'Gufa. Yeah, here the Taisus Chevav Tzoch L'Kalbo, Taisus repeats again their dispute with Rashi. The Taisus says that these two are unrelated. Rashi said that the one Machlok, that's the last two lines in the bottom Taisus. That Rashi said, how did they figure out, where did they get this idea from that there's a Machlok, a Beauty Reb Shimon? By Mikalka B'chov L'mamsa. Rashi said that it's L'shitosam, it's derived from their machlokes by Ein Tzvicha L'Gufa. Tosfos holds that it's totally unrelated. How can it be that it's totally Zebizet? The Gemara says in Sanhedrin, and Liel Daf Ayin Hey, and Lekama Daf Kuf Chof Aleph, and increases Daf Chof, they quote all the four Gemaras, that it's not totally Zebizet. Not totally Zebizet at all, not like they claim they have four Gemaras that are against Rashi. So therefore, Tosfos says that it's not totally Zebiz. Even if you're on the Kalkal B'chogul and Mavir is Chayv, you still need that it should be Tzvicha L'Gufa. So Tosfos says, so where's the Tzvicha L'Gufa? So they say, a Tzorech Mitzvah is a Machlek in Shabdir Reb Shimon, whether it's called Mesakein. Reb Yudah holds that a mitzvah, a religious need, is also called Mesakein. Reb Shimon holds that a religious deed is not called Mesakin. Mesakin is judged by common sense. Time, yes, can go in the street. But as far as Tzvicha L'Gufa is concerned, everyone will agree that a Tzorach Mitzvah is called a Tzvicha L'Gufa. So they say it's possible to have one without the other. You can have Mekalkel, and it's still called Tzvicha L'Gufa. Afilu b'mekalkel gama mashkach l'olav Tzvicha L'Gufa k'goyin. So what example do they give? So one example is a Tzorach Mitzvah. Reb Shimon holds that a Tzorach Mitzvah is not called Mesakin, it's Mekalkel. Reb Yudah disagrees. Reb Shimon holds it's not called Mesakin, it's Mekalkel. But nonetheless, it is Tzricha L'Gufa. That's what Tosfos said before, and here, they're going to repeat it a few times. The Tzorach Mitzvah is called Tzricha L'Gufa. So that's the second line in Tosfos. But first, they give another case, Kigon, Chovul Amabe Bisuri Hanosh, and Sobe Shiocha Litan L'Kabul Abashal Bokder. He plans to use the Chovul Amabe Bisuri Hanosh. He personally plans to use it. But Lamaisa it's Yisuri Hanor, it's also Manor, so he's not allowed to use it. So the fact that it's Yisuri Hanor causes us to declare the holidays that it's called Mekalkel. It's not called Mesakin, because Mesakin and Mekalkel is judged objectively. And objectively, the thing is also Manor, so it's not called Mesakin. But it still is a tzricha legufa. Tzricha legufa is job subjectively. He plans to use it, so that's called tzricha legufa. It was just as a dugma, there's such a distinction in Hilchas Yontif that we pass on like this Hillel, that not only is Zeichel Nefesh mutter, even Tzarech HaYam Ktas is also mutter. So the Gemara gives an example of Tzarech HaYam Ktas. What if a person is cooking Chazer on Yontif? Person is cooking Gid on Rosh on Yontif. So the Gemara says that's not called Zeichel Nefesh. To qualify Zeichel Nefesh has to be kosher food. If you cook food for goy, there's no hetzos. You have to cook food for a Jew. And it has to be kosher food. If you cook non-kosher food, even though none of us are religious, we always eat chazer. But if you cook chazer on Yontif, that's not called a hetzer echel nevesh. Echel nevesh has to be officially, echel nevesh has to be kosher. But a tzarech hayom ktas it is, because subjectively I plan to eat it. So that's a tzarech hayom ktas. That'll be a toli in the machleik is b'sham and b'silo. That b'silo say not only is there a hetzer echel nevesh, there's also a hetzer of tzarech hayom ktas. Mitoch shutra bishul a tzarech echel nevesh utanam the tzarech hayom ktas. And Reb Shimon deny mitoch. They hold that there is no din of tzarech hayom ktas. That's a Gemara in Beitza on the first paragraph on Daf Yud Beis. So similar to that, that's what Taisa holds over here. That in order to be called Misakein, it has to be Mutta Ba'anoa. If the thing is Asa Ba'anoa, it doesn't qualify as Misakein. Because officially on the books, it's not called Tikkun. But Lamai said the guy's going to eat it. What do you mean Asa Ba'anoa? He's totally non-observant. He doesn't care about the whole thing. So he says, yeah, that's called Tzvicha Legufa. Tzvicha Legufa depends on your subjective determination. You plan to use it. That qualifies as Tzvicha Legufa, but it's still not called Misakin. But to be Misakin, that has an abstract definition. And if the thing is in Surya HaNos, it doesn't qualify to be called Misakin. An interesting Einfach. Would be Mutta, yeah.
So that wouldn't put
in the difference. I mean, if you have a chodesh age, the doctor says he has to eat the food, the only food they have is non-kosher food. So that becomes kosher, so the halacha says that he is allowed to eat. So then it would be called echel nefesh mamish. If under the circumstance, all he has non-kosher food.
Under the circumstance, since theoretically that could be the case, you're using it, but theoretically it's possible that it is. Then we pull it right away, just like the television here right now.
So you should say that what? That since theoretically
possible that you would
maybe you'll have a chodesh eish b'sakonim, this is the only thing that he can eat. So even if you cook non kosher food, I should say on Yontif it's not an even if you are like Bishamah, there's no heter of Tzarech HaYom Ktas, only heter of Echel Nefesh. But since if there would have been a chodesh eish b'sakonim, it would have been mutter. So even if we are not aware of any chodesh eish b'sakonim, it should still be mutter. So Taisus asks such a question in the sugya of Hoyel, and they say you don't say it like that. You don't say it like that because Lamai said there is no chelush esh b'sakana lefanayim. If there would have been, it would have been, but there isn't. There isn't a chelush esh b'sakana. Taisus says chelush esh b'sakana is a milsud de lo shchicha, so that's why you can't say Hoyel. He's going to have to do it over again. He's going to have to do our Torah's on this, yeah.
But the Mai say, you see that the Machshava to do it, the person, he felt he was doing the right thing. He didn't know there was a Surya and all. He thought Kalabi was a Surya and all. Or he thought this was the Kijik.
So therefore it's called, I mean it's called Tzvicha Legufa, even though in truth it's really a mistake. Mm-hmm. Isn't that still problematic? Taisa says that a mitzvah is certainly called Tzvicha Legufa. Whether mitzvah is called Misakin or not, that's a machlekes Hatanaim Rabbi Reb Shimon. But Tzorech mitzvah is certainly called Tzvicha Legufa. But here there is no Tzorech mitzvah. So he's saying no, but the other line in Taisa that Tzricha Legufa is judged based on what he thought. So since he thought, since he thought he can do it, so that's also called Tzricha Legufa. Okay. Where did Tyson get this marshal from? Is that a Gemara? Tyson made up their own marshal. It's unusual for Tyson. And it's not the only Tyson. They have it in a few places that they give this funny marshal. It's Chayvel Amavir, and Isuri Hanos that doesn't qualify as Misakin, but Tzricha Legufa it is, because Tzricha Legufa is judged subjectively, and Misakin is judged objectively. Must be a Gemara, must be an interpretation of some Gemara somewhere.
He's not talking about something about instructing in the
current? That what?
That knew that what?
Well, I mean,
does it more?
We understand, but we understand that it's like the barn or something. So a barn in winter, but he thought they were instructed, but it's in the barn.
Is there a Gemara that says something about Shabbos there?
Oh, I thought because he thought that he was going to able to use the upper, so it's Tzricha Legufa because he wants to use that upper.
He thought it was Nigbar, and then
it
turns out that
it's or nothing can use it all, and now he can use the upper. So mm-hmm. It's not just Tzricha Legufa.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but is there a Gemara that sounds like they're making up the mashal on their own? It's not that they're interpreting a Gemara. That's surprising in taste. Okay, maybe we'll stop here and believe that tomorrow we will continue. Okay. We'll probably finish this Amud tomorrow, and then where are we going to go? Where are we supposed to go? Right then, no?